Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
This has been so rotten and miserable and terrible. And again, the bad thing about it is that I haven't deserved any of it. They haven't arrested me because they can't prove a thing. I'm not the damn Zodiac.
Hello, friend. There are two different kinds of evidence in a criminal investigation. The direct kind that leaves no question remaining on a person's guilt. And then the indirect kind, a type of evidence that is much more complicated. Circumstantial evidence is not direct proof, but it draws a compelling map of implication and suspicion. As coincidences mount, they seem less like mere chance and more like a tightening web, enclosing itself around an individual and fostering an almost unshakable conviction that they must be the perpetrator. But there is a very precarious balance between suspicion and certainty in the quest for truth. Striking such an equilibrium is a treacherous path. The Zodiac Killer has proven to be a perplexing figure, deriving pleasure from his malice as he continued to roam the streets. He was mocking authorities and brazenly gloating about his terrible crimes with no repercussions and no punishment. When a suspect finally emerged, a suspect so desperately sought, there were rays of hope and an extraordinary level of pressure for those in charge of the hunt. In the middle of summer 1971, a potential suspect arose within the Zodiac Killer investigation. While scores of people had been investigated and questioned, this individual was different. This time, there was someone in the spotlight where more and more pieces of the puzzle seemed to fit. As the investigation into the man grew, the question on everybody's mind was the same. Was this the Zodiac Killer? On July 14th, 1971, the Los Angeles Times published an article detailing a vicious attack. The unknown assailant had struck at a campground known as Dog Bar on the banks of the Bear River, near Auburn in California. A man described as 6 foot tall, heavy set, and with a receding hairline, unleashed a surprise and random attack with an 18-inch knife. Two people were killed, and two were left seriously injured, in events that shocked the local community. The article referred to the uncaptured Zodiac, highlighting similarities in the offender descriptions. Homicide Detective Toski didn't dismiss the chilling possibility, acknowledging this brutal attacker could have been the elusive serial killer. The day after this article went to press, the local police department in Manhattan Beach in Southern California, received an unexpected telephone call. Santo Panzarella was a local businessman who had some information he felt the police needed to know. Detective Amos listened as Panzarella began to explain. Sandy Panzarella and his business partner, Donald Cheney, had harbored deep-rooted concerns about a man they had known years earlier. The description of the offender in the campground attack, alongside mention of the Zodiac Killer, had prompted the pair to make contact with the police. It was time they felt that the police knew what they did. The individual they were talking about was Arthur Lee Allen. He was 38 years old and living in Vallejo, where he had lived all his life. He was often known by just his middle name, Lee. Donald Cheney had visited Allen in his basement room where he was living on New Year's Day, 1969. Allen had made some disturbing statements, which Cheney dismissed at the time, not wanting to believe Allen could be talking about anything real. Now, however, he was left with a worry he couldn't shake, that Arthur Lee Allen had brought his visions to life. In the shadows of Allen's basement residence, on the lower floor of his parents' house, Allen told Cheney about his ideas for a story. In it, he would have a central character who was a serial killer. The killer would focus on couples as his targets, killing them at random in secluded Lover's Lane spots. In Allen's story, the predator would get away with his crimes, taunting police by sending them letters in between his kills. The name Allen wanted to give this fictional killer was one that came from a Christmas present his mother had given him in 1968. That gift was a Zodiac Sea Wolf diving watch. On the watch face was a circle with a cross through the middle. Arthur Lee Allen told Cheney he wanted to call his killer Zodiac, a name that sent chills down the spines of the detectives taking all this information in. The offender at the Dog Bar campground was identified and caught within months of the attack. It was not the Zodiac Killer. But the parallels between Allen's story and the details it contained, when compared with the reality of the Zodiac murders, were strikingly terrifying. Detectives immediately informed the leads in the Zodiac case. San Francisco Police Department homicide detectives Bill Armstrong and Dave Toski, with Sergeant Molinax from the Vallejo Police Department also on board. The Zodiac murder case had a new focus: Arthur Lee Allen.
Well, it was on that New Year's Day, 1969, when we had this conversation, and I never saw him again after that. The first thing we talked about, when I arrived there, he showed me the watch. You know, he'd received it Christmas, and it was in the box with the card, and everything was there. And he asked me what I thought of it. Was it a good watch? He had the attitude that maybe his mother had stiffed him and given a cheap watch. But the watch was a Zodiac watch, and it had that little symbol on the face. He'd been fired from Valley Springs, and I know that he really sent a lot of resumes to get that job, and he liked it over there. And he got fired, and it looked like he wasn't going to teach anymore. And I was concerned about what he was going to do, and I, you know, went over there to kind of pep him up and talk to him about career choices and that sort of thing, and started asking him what he was going to do. And through some conversation, we got up to a point where he was talking about being a professional criminal. He didn't need a good resume for that. He could do it anyway. he said he would give himself an identity and write letters to the editors, and he'd have a name, and it would be Zodiac. And I began to think, maybe this is something that was already history.
Born in 1933, Allen was raised in Vallejo and made an application for the Vallejo Police Department when he was 19 years old. His application was turned down, and he switched his attentions to the military. When he was 24, he joined the U.S. Navy. It was a short-lived career. In 1958, a year after he had joined, he was charged with breach of the peace. The charges against Allen were soon dropped, but it sparked the end of his naval career path. Later that year, he was dishonorably discharged from the service and returned to his home city. Arthur Allen decided to pursue a career in teaching, and he embarked on a series of teaching posts that started in 1962. Allen's life started to reveal more troubling signs. Within a year, he was fired from his position at Travis Elementary School in Fairfield, just under 20 miles from Vallejo. School officials discovered he had a loaded weapon in his vehicle. It was 1962 that Allen first met Donald Cheney. After attending a car racing course in the Riverside area, he visited his brother Ronald Allen at California State Polytechnic University. Ron shared a house with Cheney and Ponzarella in Pomona, where the university was located, leading to the three men meeting for the first time. 5 years later, in 1968, it would seem the character of Arthur Lee Allen was battling to conceal its true nature. The foreboding shadows enveloping him grew darker and undeniably menacing. Allegations of molesting a young student ended his employment at Valley Springs Elementary School. It was events that ended his prospects of a building career in teaching. Just months later, Allen would allegedly hold these conversations with Donald Cheney in his basement room. Cheney moved away from Vallejo months later and didn't see Allen again. The more investigators looked into Arthur Allen's background, the more his suspect status heightened. Allen lived less than 15 miles from Lake Herman Road, where Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday were gunned down in December 1968. The location of the second attack, at Blue Rock Springs, which ended the life of Darlene Farron and seriously injured Michael Maggio, was just 4 miles from his home. On October 6, 1969, Arthur Lee Allen was interviewed by Sergeant Lynch from the Vallejo Police Department. The sergeant wanted to know where Allen was on September 27th, the day of the fatal Zodiac attack at Lake Berryessa. The police report does not indicate why Allen was interviewed, but noted he was in the area of Salt Point Ranch, around 95 miles from San Francisco, on that day. It is located around 130 miles from Lake Berryessa. He arrived the day before, spent the day driving, and left on the afternoon of September 27th. He said he arrived home to Vallejo around 4:30 p.m., There were no witnesses who could confirm his whereabouts and timings on that day. Armstrong and Toski were in no rush when it came to Arthur Lee Allen. They were determined to gather as much information as possible and approach him at the right moment. They had decided to quietly probe into his background by discreetly conversing with those who knew him, hoping to unearth any hidden truths. In 1971, Allen was 6 feet tall and around 250 pounds. He had a large face and a prominent nose with short dark hair. He generally wore his hair combed back, and sometimes wore a pair of glasses. He was anything but small and unimposing. In the schools he had worked in, parents complained about an unhealthy and concerning interest he showed in their children. While working at a service station, he took his boss's young teenage daughter alone on a boat trip without her parents' permission. During the trip, he made inappropriate advances towards her. The young girl told her parents upon her return, and his employment was immediately terminated. No reports, however, had ever been made to the police regarding this behavior, and he had not been investigated as a result. Donald Cheney revealed further comments that he said Allen had made in 1968. He talked about a book he distinctly remembered reading. It was called The Most Dangerous Game, a short story written by Richard Connell in 1924, about a hunter who finds himself stranded on an isolated Caribbean island. He meets another man on the island who soon gives him a terrifying ultimatum. He must join the man in hunting other humans across the island or agree to become the prey and be hunted himself. The story follows the hunter's desperate attempts to survive after refusing to join the game to hunt other humans. The hunter prevails after using his intelligence and hunting skills to outwit the predator trying to kill him. Allen said this book had left a deep impression on him. The storyline fascinated and excited him. Disturbingly, Cheney also reported Allen making statements about being able to shoot accurately in the dark. He referred to the practice of attaching a flashlight to a pistol to ensure the most precise aim. It was more detail that resonated with detectives. They had read words of this nature in one place before. In an early letter from the Zodiac, confessing to the Lake Herman Road murders, he taunted police for not catching him. The killer also wanted to gloat about how he was able to see in the dark to hit and kill his targets. On August 4, 1971, Arthur Allen was at work at the Pinole Oil Refinery of Union Oil, where he was employed as a junior chemist. He was working there as a summer job before returning to Sonoma State University to continue his undergraduate science degree studies. After realizing he would no longer be able to work in teaching, Allen decided to return to education himself. By all accounts, he was a bright student. On that morning, his boss called him into his office. Waiting for him were Detectives Armstrong and Toski, and Sergeant Jack Mullinax. With his boss out of the office to give the foreman privacy, Detective Armstrong took the lead. He advised Allen they were investigating the Zodiac serial murders and had received information that concerned them regarding statements he had reportedly made. He wasn't told who their informant was. After summarizing the information Donald Cheney had told them, they waited to hear Allen's response. Arthur Allen denied he was the Zodiac killer. Throughout the interview, he remained calm and willing to cooperate. He was confused over what he was told. He said he couldn't recall having any conversations with anyone about such topics. He told them he had read an early news article about the Zodiac killing, but had no interest in following the case, so did not keep up with it. Allen answered the detective's questions and presented as happy to help and eager to clear his name of any suspicion. In a report written by Sergeant Mullinax, Arthur Allen made some unexpected and alarming statements that afternoon.
"The two knives I had in my car with blood on them, The blood came from a chicken I had killed.
This unsolicited statement caught the attention of everyone inside the office, leaving a quiet air of intrigue, unwritten with alarm. Subsequent checks within the police files failed to uncover exactly what Allen was alluding to. During his interview, he also told the interviewing officers that he was in the Riverside area at the time they knew Sherry Jo Bates was murdered in 1966. It was a fact that may have been a mere coincidence or may have been an indication of something more sinister. It wasn't just what Allen said to officers that had them transfixed on this man sitting in front of them. On his wrist was his diving watch, the same watch Donald Cheney had described to them. The Zodiac name and the logo on the watch drew memories of the symbol the Zodiac killer used on his letters. The two were eerily similar. Over the next months, investigating officers continued to interview those closest to Arthur Allen. The information they found was not pleasant reading. Somewhere around 1965 to 1966, Allen had begun working with the Greater Vallejo Recreation District as a lifeguard and trampoline instructor. The head of that department told detectives he had to fire Allen due to complaints over his behavior towards children, a now reoccurring theme in the life of Arthur Lee Allen. The general supervisor became friends with Allen during that time, when the supervisor and his wife paid Allen a visit at his home. The atmosphere quickly turned uneasy. Allen showed them some papers that bore neat, orderly writing and a series of symbols they weren't familiar with. When asked to study them closer and understand them more, Allen wasn't too happy to divulge any further details. It was an unnerving encounter, but would not be the only one. Around the summer of 1969, the supervisor was asked by Allen's sister-in-law to talk to Allen about seeking psychiatric help for his troubling and dangerous interest in young children. He granted her request, equally concerned, but the conversation with Allen did not go well. Arthur Allen had little interest in seeking help, and it was a discussion that ended the friendship between the two men. On the same day, homicide detectives interviewed Allen at the oil refinery. They spoke with his sister-in-law, Karen Allen. She recounted how the family had received a complaint about Arthur Allen's interactions with the child, which prompted them to urge Allen to seek help. When told her brother-in-law was being investigated with regards to the Zodiac Killer case, she was shocked. She believed Allen needed help, but struggled to accept the notion he could be a serial murderer. Karen was able to provide detectives with more information regarding Allen's family life. She explained the relationship between Allen and his mother was complicated. Allen had expressed hatred towards her, despite her generosity throughout his life, paying his bills and living expenses, and buying him vehicles. It was Karen Allen's opinion that her brother-in-law hated women. Back in 1969, Sergeant Ken Narlow from the Napa County Police Department was assigned to the Lake Berryessa crime scene. He continued to work on the Zodiac case and worked closely with Detectives Armstrong and Toski throughout the investigations into Arthur Allen.
I was off duty at the time Lee Allen came up as a suspect. I was recovering from surgery. You got to follow the evidence, like in a money case, money laundering. You got to follow the money. Well, in criminal investigation, you got to follow the evidence. You can't make the guy fit the evidence. You got to make the evidence fit the individual. Although he was certainly a subject of interest, he fit the general physical description. He
had the background. Whether or not I never met the man, he had the killer instinct. I don't know.
Arthur Lee Allen was the most viable Zodiac suspect the investigation team had to date. As the year rolled over into 1972, they continued their investigations into his life and his movements. It was, however, becoming apparent they would need much more to build a case against him. The circumstantial evidence enveloping Arthur Allen seemed compelling at first glance, yet it lacked any definite proof that could establish guilt in these terrible crimes. While it painted a very suggestive picture, it fell short of direct confirmation of any wrongdoing by him. Witness statements that recall past conversations are open to the fallibility of human memory. Memories are prone to distortion. They can be influenced by the passage of time, suggestions, and personal bias. New information can blend with existing memories, creating a hybrid version of events. While not always a deliberate attempt to deceive, inadvertent fabrication or exaggeration can happen. The privacy of conversations between two people can also enable someone to falsely claim they had a discussion that did not in fact take place. One party may have motives to distort, and this can derail any criminal investigation and may be incredibly hard for investigators to prove. There was no reason to doubt the recollections of Donald Cheney, and the officers who spoke with him directly believed what he was telling them. Arthur Allen, however, claimed these conversations have never taken place. Arthur Lee Allen was under suspicion as being the elusive and hidden face of the Zodiac Killer. The challenge that now lay in front of Detectives Armstrong and Toski was now to find any evidence that could prove a significant link between Allen and the murders carried out by this killer. The Zodiac Killer had maintained an eerie silence since July 1971. His letters had stopped arriving, and his claims of multiple victims, alongside new threats, had ceased. The hunters of this elusive killer focused their attention on the developing investigation into Arthur Allen. As the investigation into the Zodiac Killer continued, one crucial aspect remained shrouded in secrecy: the withholding of Arthur Lee Allen's name from the public eye. With the hunt intensifying for concrete evidence linking Allen to the Zodiac killings, investigators recognized the pressing need to draw closer to him. The net was tightening around one man, and the hope that finally a killer who had terrorized communities and devastated families would be caught and stopped from causing any more pain.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.